I'm going to invite Terry Schmidt to come up and join us today. And the message that we are sharing, if you eat, then this message is for you. So, Terry, do you eat?
Sometimes.
Well, good. I'm glad. So thanks for joining me up here today. We're going to have a little sharing message. I'm preaching, you're filling in. How's that sound?
Perfect. What could go wrong?
I hope you listen to the kids' message because I'm going to ask you some questions here. All right. Today's scripture revolves around eating together. Jesus invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house, and its role in discipleship is huge, I think, for you and I as we are inviting people into this walk with Jesus. So eating together. So we're asking in this series, how can we bless one another? And Terry's here with me to talk about sitting at the table as part of being a dad and the key role that it has. So welcome, Terry. You initially told me that you were excited to be here. It helped kind of affirm your role as being a dad. And I would ask, why are you here today willing to share with all these people sitting up here with me?
Because I think everybody has similar struggles. I mean, the awkward thing to say is, bills, family, and thing, and you don't talk about money in church, but the reality of it is if anyone noticed, things have gotten a little more expensive the last couple of years, and raising kids, and it's a toll, and it takes, I think Jolene taught me this line, it takes a village to get the family in and out the door sometimes.
Yeah, so you're willing to share some of those struggles.
Yeah.
And some of the joys today.
Yep. Yes.
All right, thanks, Terry. I appreciate it. So BLESS is the series that we're doing, and it's an acronym that we are using in an intentional evangelism initiative by the Evangelical Covenant Church. So it starts with B, which is begin with prayer. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, that all the work that we do as a follower of Jesus, when we're trying to walk with God, it all begins in prayer. It's connecting with the author of life, the one who is orchestrating both those we're visiting with and talking to, as well as our own lives. And so we are invited to join the Holy Spirit in the work that he is doing through prayer. So we begin with prayer. L is for listen. Last week I invited you to turn to the person next to you and ask, are you a good listener? We probably found out that, you know, we might have some work to do in that, but it's key to what it means learn about people. We can ask some good questions, but in the end, we have to listen to see how God is at work in the lives of those around us, if we are going to bless them. So that takes listening. And then my favorite one today, E stands for eat together. So that's one of the reasons you may have been invited here, is to come and have a meal with us as well. So it's sharing at the table was an integral part of Jesus' ministry. So we follow him when we invite others to eat together and be together. So I'm going to look at this passage, and then Terry, you're going to help me illustrate it a little bit as you put it into practice. So we begin with the passage, and point number one is that everyone needs to be seen. Everyone needs to be seen, and Jesus sees Zacchaeus in Luke 19. So I'm going to give a little credit to Melissa Walls from Deer Grove Covenant Church in Illinois. Her meditation informs some of what we're talking about here. So in Luke 19, 1 through 4, we heard Jesus entered Jericho. He was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector. He was wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, to see Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. So, Terry, again, if you're listening to the kids' message, who's Zacchaeus?
It's the short guy in a tree.
That's right. You got it.
So smart.
So he's actually somebody that most religious people wouldn't want anything to do with. The reason for that is because he is a tax collector. What's wrong with tax collectors, Terry?
We love paying taxes.
There we go. So Jesus had previous called a tax collector named Matthew. Didn't seem to have a problem with that. But Zacchaeus, he is even deeper into this corruption of the tax collecting business. The scripture says he is a chief tax collector, and he is what? wealthy, the scripture says. He's wealthy. So he is someone that he's mostly looking out for who? Himself, that's right. And that's what most people see in Zacchaeus. But Jesus sees something more in him. Did you know that Zacchaeus' name means clean and pure? That is something Zacchaeus may not yet know, but he's about to discover who he is as a true child of God. And that, I think, is the role of fathers with your children. Zacchaeus says, Jesus tells Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Jesus is about to reveal to Zacchaeus who he truly is. And as a dad, I think you and Amanda take that seriously with your own kids,
yes.
Partly due to your experience growing up. So can you share a little bit about that?
Yep. No, and growing up, and we understand that Father's Day isn't a fun day for everybody. I mean, Amanda lost her dad when she was 17, 18, young. So it took her a while to enjoy Father's Day, as several people out here too. So, I mean, when we got married, our big thing is we wanted to stay together no matter what, no ifs, ands, or buts. So family is important to us. And we've always wanted a big family. Mm-hmm. And anyone that knows us well knows that we are not perfect. So
big family, you mean lots of kids or tall kids?
We got a couple tall ones, I've heard.
So dads, do you know, or do your kids know that you see them? Do your kids know that you see them, like Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in the tree? So beyond our kids, when we want to bless other people, they need to know that we see them. And one of the ways that we can do that is invite them to the table, to sit down across from them. We see them and share a meal together. So I'm guessing if you take a moment right now and just think about someone you could invite to a meal together, to your house for dinner or somewhere, a name is probably coming to mind. Kids, you can do this too. But, you know, like think of someone that you would want to have a meal together with. And then ask your mom and dad, hey, can we invite them out for dinner? Come over to the house for dinner. And I'm going to invite you all to think about who you could invite and then actually to make note of that and then make an invitation this week. That's kind of our application. So Jesus did it a little differently when he was traveling through Jericho. He invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house. And that's really what we are called to do, number two, and extend the invitation. So what happens around the table? Well, it's probably a little different at everybody's house. How about the Schmitz household?
It's first come, first serve.
Right.
It goes quick.
All right.
You know, yeah, and it's... Yeah, fill me in when we were coming.
Yeah, you talked about you went grocery shopping and got, I think, 12 gallons of milk.
We're up to 12 gallons of milk a week. And
what do you do with all that milk?
It goes quick. I mean, our kids know our struggles with in bills and stuff, and that's not the main important thing, but it's just how quick it goes. I mean, when Amanda one time came home with groceries and we were out of milk, and of course the kids are panicking, not panicking, but...
Thirsty,
out of milk, and it's like, all right, hop up, let's unload the van, and the van is full of groceries, and they're passing milk up the steps, and, I mean, milk, they open them up, take a drink, up the steps, down the steps, they pass it off like sailors on a break, you know, they're just, whoop, and then all of a sudden, wham, in less than 5 minutes of walking in the door, we're down 1 gallon of milk, and it's just like, whoa. So.
All right. So things are not always as they seem on the outside. You know, Jesus saw Zacchaeus, who he was on the outside, but he invited him anyway because he knew that even the chief tax collector was a child of God. And Jesus doesn't let him hide up in the tree. He calls him out, and he says, I see you. And I think as a dad, when you are sharing with your kids, when you're talking to them, you know, whether it's a situation of correction or a loving conversation, they know that you see them. The scripture says in verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. There's a sense of urgency. I think that's really important here. He says, come down how fast? Immediately, right? Because I must stay at your house when? Today. That's right, today. So those are divine moments that God orchestrates, divine engagements. And, you know, it's easy to put them off. You might think, you know, I should do that. I should invite somebody over to dinner. But, you know, I'm busy this week. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it next week. I'll get to it. And we wait. And even with your kids or even our grandkids, you know, it's easy to say that would be a good thing to do. You know, you're like prompted to make a connection, but then you think, maybe I'll get to that next week. And sometimes it doesn't happen. I think the key here is when the Holy Spirit is prompting, it means now. If the Holy Spirit is telling you to do it now, then it's to do it now, not another time. It's divinely orchestrated. So Zacchaeus, he climbed up the tree because he wanted to see Jesus, but he didn't realize that Jesus wanted to see him even more. So scripture says, so he, Zacchaeus, came down at once and welcomed him, Jesus, gladly. So he came down and he welcomed Jesus gladly. A dad's role, I think, is to call out the true person that God sees in your kids. We have a unique perspective as dads, yes. Certainly. God's given us that. And each kid is a child of God, and it's your job as dads, our job, to help our kids know who they are. And when I say who they are, I mean who they are as a child of God. And in the process, they need to know who cares deeply enough about them to invite them not only to the table, but to those conversations that sometimes are difficult, sometimes they're reminders, sometimes they're teaching moments, and that their lives matter in the kingdom. And Terry, you have a few of those conversations, apparently.
We do.
All right.
From time to time, quite a bit. And this is the one where...
Yeah, you talk about honest conversations, a budget, yep. About grandpa, investing in the
yep.
kids.
And that's where the main reason I am here is kind of just for this question is we do sit down with our kids, not in great detail, and we won't go through specifics, but they know what we make in a week. They know what our budget is, and they understand that you're only going to get X amount of money for gas, and you're only going to get X amount of money for this. And we're not embarrassed by that, but just don't compare yourself to the Joneses so much. Just people get the big picture. And like now things are going to be more expensive in the future, and it's going to be more difficult to have a big family. And it's going to be tough, and it's going to try your patience, because patience is my strongest virtue.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah, we're praying
no,
for you.
Not so much. So
now we're inviting Amanda up.
And to be real with them, so they understand that we the decisions we make isn't a punishment to you. It's just, here's the facts of life. Here's what we got. Here's what we're doing. We're eating leftovers today. But, you know, we can't always do steak and lobster every night of the week, and that's an extreme exaggeration, but I mean, it does no good to lie to your kids and pretend that things are fine. They can see right through it, and they see through it fast. So how do you start a relationship with your kids if you lie to them from the get-go when they're in high school, when they need the truth right away? If they know you're struggling with bills, just, you don't have to give them details, and me and Amanda aren't experts on this, but we just have, our kids are very, we're lucky to have them. I mean, and we're thankful for them. And I think did I get most of the points that we were
yeah,
talking about?
Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
Terry and I had some conversation on this, but it was interesting as you were telling them. You both had a good payday recently a nice bank account, and you were telling them that, and their eyes were like huge,
yep.
Right? Whoa, all that money, and then you started telling them what?
Yep, here's the mortgage, here's the thing. We had two flat tires, and we had softener salt, and one hit a deer, and you know, it's just every time the phone rings, it's a $100 bill, and you just quit. You almost don't want to answer the phone after 9 o'clock in the morning, but you can't. And we, yeah.
So yep. There's one more. There's a little picture up behind you there.
The green machine. There it is. Yep. No, and I would rather have my kids have better vehicles. They're giggling way too loud out there.
That's because they have a different name for that truck.
Yep. Pastor Tim knows the real name. If you want to know the real name of the truck, you'll have to see me after church. But we feel safer as parents having better vehicles, better things for our kids. I mean, it does me no good to have a fancy four-door, 4x4 pickup. It's pointless. I would rather them be safe on the road and them get the A and B, because they're Grand Forks, Fargo. I mean, they're crisscrossing the country now that they've got driver's license, and it makes me feel better knowing that they're safe. If I break down in my little green machine here, oh well, nobody's really going to want to kidnap me or hurt me, so yeah.
You're a prize, Terry.
Yeah, I know it.
All right. So the point being, you know, we all do this a little differently. We all have different situations, but out of this, your kids know that they matter to you, right?
Yes, they do.
That they matter, and that it's a way of demonstrating that they matter to God. You know your kids' shenanigans on the outside, but that doesn't determine who they are on the inside.
Yep.
And you call that out in him, the best in them. So it begins by letting them know that their earthly dad loves them, you cherish them, you
yes.
care about them, you are for them. And surprisingly, those conversations often happen in what seems to be a normal, everyday experience, sitting around the table,
yep.
eating a meal. So it's at the table that the kids discover, through you, that tangible expression of Jesus' love for them. And it's what Zacchaeus was about to find out when he eats with Jesus. So your table can be a great place to invite others as well. And this is kind of our theme today as well, your table. In the Blessed Evangelism Initiative, you're invited to make space at your table. So that means extending your reach to welcome anybody who isn't currently experiencing that life at the table as the family of God. So Jesus was intentional about inviting everybody. He practiced extravagant hospitality, what I would call with Zacchaeus, and he welcomes people. And Jesus could see beyond the tax collector a person who longed to belong and experience the friendship of Jesus. But not everybody sees it that way, certainly not for Zacchaeus. Verse 7 says, all the people saw this and they began to mutter, he has gone to be with the guest of a sinner. So you're going to have to give me a couple minutes here, Terry, as I unpack this, and then I'll get back to you.
We're good.
But first, why were so many people upset that Jesus went to the home of Zacchaeus? We're giving him a test here.
Well, because he's tax collectors, and everybody loves tax collectors. And then that time, I think it was those weren't nice guys back then, I don't think.
Yeah, right. In Eastern times, eating with someone in this way was a statement that you wanted to associate with them, even more so than we might think about it today. It wasn't a casual invitation. It meant that you were cultivating a deeper relationship with this person and not just anyone sat at your table. So it's kind of like if you and I invite somebody out to lunch or Subway or something like that, they can assume, or if you were invited here today, you can assume that, the person who invited you wants to be with you and wants to share that meal together. In those days, it meant that they were definitely developing a relationship that was intimate. And for the deeply religious Jews who were extremely sensitive to the holiness codes and laws of the Old Testament, they believed that they had to be very careful not to associate with someone who didn't follow the rules. Now think about that. Someone who didn't follow the rules. Their interpretation of the Old Testament was that sinners taint their fellowship. At least that was the consensus. But not for Jesus. This passage says that he went to a sinner's home and ate with him. This is a big thing. So we might think of ourselves, like we're not like those guys who would grumble about that. I would be as accepting as Jesus. Yet often we're just a little too uncomfortable, I think, inviting someone to our tables who doesn't fit our mold. We probably wouldn't say that out loud. We just wouldn't do it. So the actions of Jesus in going to Zacchaeus' house, it says a lot about breaking down walls and inviting people in. So you have a chance this week to do just that, to invite someone to your table. Who will it be? So this next verse reveals the outcome of that invitation, and it's something far different than tainting the holiness of Jesus. This is what happens. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. So this is a picture of repentance. This is what it looks like to have a changed life. And he's going way over and above even what the Old Testament law talks about in restitution. He's like being extremely generous. This is true transformation. So Zacchaeus was transformed right there at the table of Jesus. So Terry, here comes another question.
All right.
You spend time with your family at the table, and eventually all that has influence, right?
Yes.
So how are you experiencing that demonstrated in your kids, like your values showing up in the lives of your kids?
Yep, we don't get the pat on the back, per se, but like a couple years ago, we noticed, like I said, we give our kids, not an allowance, but in the budget, and Monday morning, give them a little bit, and then the next day later, I need 25 more bucks. And we're like, we just gave you 25 bucks. Where did it go? And they're like, well, I don't remember which kid it was, but they noticed that one of their friends, they were at a ball game or an event, and they noticed one of their friends didn't really have enough money. You could see him looking in their wallet, closed it, and so I just paid for his lunch or paid for the meal, whatever, when they went. And it's like, oh, they recognized that the kid needed help, you know, and did it discreetly without telling the whole world that the kid needed a couple bucks. So that just, and you can tell when they come home from work and they come home from different things that they are just thankful that they're normal, somewhat, maybe.
So, you know, I appreciate that. And I have experienced that with your kids as well. And I think some of us have here, yep, in the congregation about their character. You know, it does reflect.
Yep.
It does reflect your care. So do you ever have any other kids around your table? What happens at the Schmitz house? Is it just your kids?
No, from time to time we do have a couple of kids wandering in there, and it's nice, and it's fun.
And so, what do they see?
You can be yourself. You do not have to pretend to be anyone else when you come to our house. You can be the real deal.
Okay.
You're welcome in anytime.
All right. So what are your Father's Day plans?
To do as little as possible, I hope. No, the only thing I want, and like I told the kids too, I said, don't waste, I shouldn't say waste money. I don't need things. I don't want things. I don't need a card. And I think any parent just wants time. So like this morning we said, what's your plans? Where are you going? Some have this practice. Some have that going on. And I said, as long as we can do a meal or a movie at some point, I'll be under one roof tonight. It's a win for me. That's it. That's simple. That's all I want for Father's Day.
Thank you. That's great. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, not a new truck.
Not yet.
So, dads, as you sit around the table with your kids and engage with them, you are demonstrating that you love them and that they are worth your time, their value. And so, how do your kids, Terry, know that you value them? You talked about little storm happening.
Yep, yeah, be careful what you pray for. We always wish that we could just pick the house up and move it closer to town, and that almost happened a couple of years ago. When the tornado hit, we went through a lot and learned a lot. It took a lot of patience, which was my favorite thing again. But me and Amanda made a choice. Do we either, A, do we go to Menards and throw on the cheapest stuff and quick plywood and plexiglass, duct tape, sell the house and out of here, or do we get the best of the best and make this our home? And our home is meaning we're too old to walk up and down the steps. And so we invested in, that's our home. That's where, we don't want to go to Arizona. We don't want to move to Florida when we retire. We want to be wherever our kids are. And the only way that we would ever move off that place is if, by pure chance, if all of them live in Fargo, then and only then, or any town for that matter, I just keep referring to Fargo, but if they all move to Timbuktu, Tennessee, well then I guess we're going to go there too, but only if all of them are there. So, I mean, it's our home. It's where we're safe, and it's where we're going to be till we're too old to walk up and down the steps, I think.
Well, I hope that's the case, and for your sake and for the sake of your kids, and I think the point being out of that you know, you want them to know that they're welcome.
Yes.
Wherever, yep, you know, it could be wherever you are, Lord, yep, Lord willing, but that there's a place for them.
Yes.
And yep, we can appreciate that. So by sitting down at the table, Jesus sought to engage those he was trying to reach. And that's our last point. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So the scripture says in verse 9, Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And again, that's Jesus' mission. So over a mealtime conversation, Zacchaeus, he found new life. And you and I were called to continue that mission. Jesus declared this at the house of a tax collector, a sinner, that he's come to seek and save him. So to point people to Jesus, who seeks and saves them. So this week, that mission continues as we have the opportunity to extend an invitation to share a meal. So whether it's your kid or a neighborhood kid or the neighbor down the road, we all need to be reminded that we are loved and that someone sees the best in us. So you have a blessed handout on your chair, and under this one of Eat, there's some ideas about how you might invite someone, how you might share a meal together. And remember that through that simple act of eating together, we practice hospitality, we build community, and we deepen relationships, all to help others know that Jesus is seeking them. So who will you eat with this week? I hope you have a name today. So dads, as we close, I'd really like to hear, like you to hear, what happens at the Schmitz house at the end of every night. They're shaking their heads.
No ifs, ands, or buts. And this is one of the few times where the kids don't ever have to be told to do something twice. But every night, we truly try with effort. Every single night, Mom, Amanda will send a text, and it's hugs kids. And it's kind of fun to watch them up the steps. And every night, give them a hug and tell them we love them. Every single day. And we mean it. Not just a go through the motions. And that is key, because then in that couple of seconds when you give them the hug, that's when you say, okay, today wasn't your best day, or shenanigans may have happened, and that's when we get to have that one quick moment of, all right, tomorrow's starting over, we still love you, get out of line, next kid's coming. All right, so, you know, it and that is, I don't know if that's, want to call it our thing, but that's important to us. And I think that's helped our kids navigate through right and wrong and a lot of things. Every single day, whether they're taller than you and stronger than you and bigger than you and can't quite, well, they can run faster than me now. But you still tell them that you love them. In front of their friends, in front of their, you tell them you love them. Because we've had that phone call where they're hurt, you know, bus rolls over, weird, you know, just out of the blue. So we mean it, and it's important to us. And I think that solves not every problem, but it sure helps open the door to keep them talking to you. Because I think now more than ever, our nation's going to need, I think our kids are at a crossroads where, meaning kids even younger than mine, they're either going to follow faith or they're not. And it's a sharp divide. And so I like our town and I like our community and help out however we can.
So. And it's obvious, Terry, that you love our kids, or your kids.
Yes. Yep.
Our kids. So would you give Terry a hand for coming up here and sharing today? I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So dads, thank you for the work that you do in loving and caring for your kids and grandpas and those who may not be dads, but support and encourage kids around you in our communities. It's God-ordained work. And it is because of your love for them that they know and begin to understand the love of Jesus. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you call us into community. For the dads you give us, for the granddads, the stepdads, Lord, and even those that are struggling to identify, Lord, how a dad could even be good. Lord, I pray that you help them to know your great love, and a father, you who deeply loves each person, who sent his one and only Son to die on the cross, that he may seek and save the lost. And if someone is here today who does not yet know Jesus, who senses that he is seeking you today, then I invite you to call on the name of the Lord. The scripture says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. In Revelation 3, Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." That close, intimate fellowship, relationship with you, Jesus. So if you're hungry, if you are starving for a real relationship with Jesus, then I invite you to open the door and let him in with a simple prayer. Jesus, Jesus, thank you. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Lord, I accept your welcome as a child of God to enter into relationship with you, your home, the kingdom of heaven. Lord, thank you that I am found today. In your name, amen. And for the rest of us, I invite us to extend that invitation to eat together. Terry, you can go. All right.